Well, let's start this morning talking a little bit about the weather. This is not one of the fun days to be a superintendent.
No, it really isn't. It could be, you could move that into a fun couple days. So, you know, we begin these conversations a couple days ago, and then last night after school, actually throughout the day, I was getting text messages from area superintendents about what's coming, what are we going to do, and things like that. And so, yeah, we take these things real serious, and it's never an easy decision.
And when you say talking with other superintendents, do you try to make a group decision?
Yeah, sometimes we do. We want to find out what's going on in a particular school area, as they have eyes on the ground, especially to the west of us. We lean on Wyndham, our area schools, Wyndham, Comfrey, Butterfield, Jackson. There are our neighboring and border schools, and so the people on the ground there in each of those schools are their transportation departments. So they carry a lot of weight in what the road conditions are like for the buses and things like that. So, and you know, Steve, the number one thing, if I've got tunnel vision on a day like this, it is student safety and getting reliable information. And so that's got to be top on our minds.
Absolutely. All right. But this also is a good opportunity to talk an awful lot about the weather and student safety and how the two really are vital.
Yeah, that's it. And so we want to, first of all, like I said, keep students safe. And we look at not only safety in traveling on the buses that we have out on the routes, but also their driving safety to and from school. And so we know that, we just want to make sure that they are safe when they're driving to school and our staff members and things like that. The other pieces to that are keeping people informed. So the school board is, they value very much the idea of us letting parents know as much advanced notice as possible. And so we make sure that we get the word out as soon as we can. So last night we had a little event mix-up. So we sent out the announcement toward the end of our high school concert. And to some, that was music in the ears of some of those people, and others, it was not necessarily music in their ears. And so, you know, it's like one of those coaches making a decision in the middle of a game, and he's just say, "Oh man, I wish I could have done that different." But anyway, so we made that announcement. We try to get that information out as soon as possible.
That's a real fine line, because you want to wait as long as you can to make sure you have all the information you can have. But
yeah.
Yet it's important for parents and students to be able to plan for the next day.
That's exactly it. So I would like to make the decision in advance at night as much as possible, but so that parents can make decisions on where their sons and daughters should be cared for in case they need something like that. And but there are times where you want to wait until the morning just because the conditions might change. And usually a wait in the morning can be a two-hour late start. Sometimes our two-hour late starts are going to stay 2 hours late, and some of them were going to develop into a close. And we thought this was one of those that had a good chance of developing from a two-hour late start to a full-day close.
Absolutely. Now, the school also has multiple ways to get the word out, too.
Yeah, it's not like it was when I was a kid. I would wake up in the morning in my hometown of Marshall listening to KMHL radio or WCCO, waiting for them to announce that Marshall was closed. And so it's way more than the radio these days. And so we've got, of course, KDOM radio. We depend on you guys to get the word out. And then we've got our own internet. We've got an instant alert system that sends text messages and voicemails out. Our Facebook page. So there's so many ways of getting the message out to people today that helps them to stay informed.
I'd like to just focus on the instant alert real quick. Is that
Yeah.
something that all parents are, do they need to sign up to receive those alerts, or do they just go?
No, they need to sign up, Steve. And so if they don't sign up, they won't get the message. And every year we start the year with some new parents that aren't on the sign-up list, and so they don't get a notice. And we keep the list right now to caretakers, faculty, staff, and people related to doing services at the school.
Okay, very good. Well, besides weather, there is a lot going on at the schools.
Yeah, there sure is, Steve. We've got our winter sports are starting up. And so I mentioned last night we had one of our high school holiday concerts. We've got, we pair with Mount Lake Christian and Comfrey in girls and boys basketball. So they're underway. But, you know, they've had a couple weather incidents where they've had to cancel games. And so when you do that, it just changes the schedule so much. And so we're making adjustments for that. We pair with Wyndham in three sports, wrestling, hockey, and gymnastics. And then one-act play is just getting started. So we had a great fall season, and we're ready to go in our winter season right now.
And when you start talking about all of those activities between everything, I can imagine having to reschedule something really is a nightmare.
Yeah, it really gets to be that way. So if you were to talk with our athletic director, we're going to find some weeks where we're playing basketball almost every single night and to make adjustments in the schedule. Or if it comes to it, we cancel a game, and it might be a non-conference event. We try to get all the conference events in, and so we have to cancel something. We're going to make it a non-conference event.
All right. We mentioned last time we talked about the gymnasium floor being done, and I'm sure that all the athletes are enjoying that.
Yeah, right. It's all done, Steve. And so the athletes got on it like the first part of December or the last part of November. And, yeah, it's a really, really neat thing to have a brand-new floor, brand-new surface on there. And so we're real careful with it right now. So we're real careful what we want to put on there, because it's like that brand new car that you don't want one scratch in. So eventually it'll get its scratches, and it'll be a well-worn floor where we lock up a lot of wins.
Absolutely. Are there other projects we need to be mentioning this morning?
Yeah. So, Steve, about toward the around the 22nd of November, We had this HVAC project where we were going to put air conditioning in the main auditorium. Well, that project was originally scheduled to be, that project along with three others combined, was going to be about $500,000. Well, when the bids came in, as we were getting closer and closer to bid day, we were discovering that prices were going up. And so this $500,000 project to do four projects, it came down to one project for $500,000. And then when we were about 3 weeks out, we were getting news that the prices were just skyrocketing for construction and wages and parts and things. And so, believe it or not, this project went from $500,000 to over $1 million.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so we rejected that because we're funding this with federal money, Steve. And we can't pull that money out of our fund balance, and so we can't do that. We're gonna leave that and spend the money on technology instead.
Which is another one of those tough decisions you get to make.
Yeah, it was more disappointing than tough, because we began with this high hope of putting air handling units in four parts of our school, and then it narrowed down to one, and then it's like you know, that old man in the sea getting his big marlin eaten up by the sharks, and you come ashore and you've got nothing. And it was more disappointing and than anything, Steve. And it was an easy decision. Well, there's no way. We just don't have the money to do that.
Right. Well, hopefully things will turn around here a little bit.
Yeah, I hope so too. Then we've got a group of city and county leaders had explored the possibility of putting a sidewalk pathway through one of the streets that sort of has been grass ever since the school has been made in the back of the school. So they were looking at increasing the vitality of the community and putting a sidewalk in the back. It would go through a back playground. And so we looked at that and listened to their proposal, and we came up with a counter proposal instead that would put a sidewalk on in the front of our school, where students there is no sidewalk in the front part of our school. That's a city street coming into the school where students have to walk out in the roads on a snow day like this. And so they talked about that, and one of the things that we sort of came to an agreement on, we couldn't agree on whether we should put a sidewalk in the front of the school or the back of the school, except that someday there's a commitment to put a sidewalk in should 4th Ave be dug up and redone. But there's a crossing that we have when our student athletes are going to do football or cross country or different events, softball, baseball, at Munson Field. They walk across County 1, and there's no stoplight there for students to walk across. And so that was the one that we could agree very much on, is a safe crossing of County 1 by putting a stoplight in for the students to cross. So they're going to see what we can do with that.
Oh, well, that's exciting news then.
Yeah, it is. It really is. So these are efforts that are done in schools all over the place. And, the intent of everybody is to keep students safe. And so that much we agree on. And so we hope for some good things to happen there.
Absolutely. All right. Well, before we let you go this morning, we need to talk a little bit about budget.
Yeah, not always my favorite topic, but we had our audit report in November, and we expected and found out that our fund balance, we spent more money than we were able to take in last year. And so that resulted in a decrease in fund balance. And then we'll have our truth and taxation meeting coming up in December 19th. And our levy is projected to be a 9.3% increase. About half of that is estimated to be building and loan debt that we're paying off. We're working on the funding of there's certain things that in our school that we have to provide services for. We have absolutely no choice. We have to serve special ed students, and we have to pay for those services. It's a federal mandate and a state mandate. The problem with that, Steve, is they don't give us all of the funding that's required to educate the students, so we have to come up with that on our own. And so that's like in special ed, $365,000 that we have to come up with to make those programs work. And we don't have a choice, Steve. We have to hire people and teachers and paraprofessionals and equipment to serve these students.
And there's a need too.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
It's hard to look at that as additional.
Yeah, it always has been difficult for schools to look at that, because this is not a process. It's a legal process to have a student move from regular education into a special education program. There's lots of requirements. You just can't get it done willy-nilly. And so once the student has the services, we have to provide specially trained teachers with specially designed licensure to deliver that education. And that's a burden for districts. And we think that the feds should fully fund, and I think the governor's interested in using some of his surplus to fully fund special education. So, but we'll see how that turns out.
And that is, that's one more thing on the list, too, is that $17 billion surplus.
Yeah, my, is that there's going to be a lot of people at the trough for that, including schools and health and human services and other people. They're all going to want their piece of that $17 billion. And so it'll be real interesting to see what happens with that. I was at a legal seminar the other day, and they had a presentation on recent government action. And they talked about the surplus and all the mandates that we have out there, and all the people that want this funded, that funded, and what they want to do for funding schools on regular education, special education. It's pretty interesting. Exciting time, actually.
When they're talking about those kind of plans and proposals, when it comes to the schools, are they pretty specific? We want this money for this, or is it just more of a the school needs the money, and then locally we would get to determine where that money is best used?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'm told that people in the legislature, you've got different kinds that want it to go to the general fund increase. That's where we can use it wherever we want to. But a lot of legislative people in Minnesota, they like what they call category funding or categorical funding. And that's something that the legislative person can say, we're going to give so much money to fund reading in grades 1 through 3. And then they can hang their hat on that and say, I'm a legislator that really believes in reading. And we know that they all are in favor of reading, but that doesn't always fit. It might fit Minneapolis-St. Paul, but it might not fit Mountain Lake, that kind of a funding scheme where we need flexibility with that funding, because we've got our class sizes the way we need them to be, and we want to use that money for something else. And so that's what some of the rub is with categorical funding.
All right. Is there anything else we need to mention this morning?
I think we're good. Let's pay attention to weather and hope for the best for the rest of the week.
Knock on wood. Yes, definitely. Bill Strom, superintendent, if I don't speak to you before, have a good holiday.
All right. Same to you, Steve.
All right. Superintendent Bill Strom from Mountain Lake Public Schools, and that will do it for Kaleidoscope this morning on KDOM.